All right, at 5:10, Haters and Ballers, Cincinnati edition. Really looking forward to it. It's new and improved from earlier this week. And we've got this segment, Dan Hoard, the Cincinnati play-by-play voice, the greatest hits from our interview with him yesterday to get you ready for K-State and Cincy tonight. You know, today it just happens to be St. Patrick's Day as well during the tournament. Can I just bring a hot take to the floor here? I don't really get St. Patrick's Day. Like, people love it. People just love it. Like, I was just looking at people's Snapchat stories during the break here, and so many of my friends, now granted, not a lot of them here because fake Paddy's Day is the bigger deal seemingly here, but just so many people are like out, they've been drinking all day. I'm like, are you taking off work to specifically go celebrate St. Patrick's Day? I'm not hating on that idea in and of itself. If you're going to take a day off to go day drink, like, that's fine. But I just don't understand the love affair with St. Patrick's Day. I don't know. It's one of those things that I've never really taken to.
You just made the Haters and Ballers segment of some radio show in Ireland, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
I
guess so.
Right now.
I mean, it doesn't have any kind of real significance to me. And
no, I don't really get into it either. I don't really know what we're actually celebrating, to be totally honest with you. And I'm Catholic, so that's probably not a good look.
Yeah, you might want to figure that out. I mean, far be it from me to criticize you as a non-Catholic. I don't know, but it sounds like it might be more important to you. I don't know. It sounds like you might want to go grab a beer or something. I mean, I don't know. We got 45 minutes left
in
the show.
I will.
We're about to play a taped interview, actually, so this would be a convenient time for you to do that.
Yeah, sure.
You're actually the only one with any green on, it would appear, because you got a little bit of neon green on your glasses.
That's true. Yep.
Out of us three, that's all that we have. This audio hosting program that I'm about to play this Dan Hoard interview off of is green, though, so I will count that as my green here for St. Patrick's Day. Yesterday, right out of the gates in the show, we talked to Dan Hoard, who was the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats, to see what the flavor of Cincinnati is going into this game against K-State, what they are expecting, and thought we'd just play you basically the greatest hits of that. The first thing that we asked Dan Hoard was simply, at 29-6, is this the best team that Mick Cronin has had in his time at Cincinnati?
I think it is, but we'll see. He had a team a few years ago that made it to the Sweet 16. They didn't win 29, but by the end of the year, they were playing extremely well, and they upset Florida State in the second round of the NCAA tournament that year. So we'll see, but I do think it's a very good Cincinnati team, and at 29-5, it's obviously had a great year.
You know, as we look at Cincinnati and what they've done over the last few years, one common theme for them is that they have always been sent out to the West Coast, and there were some comments from Mick Cronin that his team was not too pleased with the fact that they once again had to fly out west. How much should be made of that, in your opinion?
Not that much. To tell you the truth, I really don't think it's that big of a factor for the team itself. Cincinnati got here on Tuesday. They traveled Tuesday night. They arrived about 1 in the morning Cincinnati time. So they will sleep in the hotel here in California for 3 nights before they play a game. I don't think time change or anything like that is going to be a big factor. However, having said all that, when you play in California, your fans can't go. They'll have a very small rooting section, very difficult for the players' families to have to spend that money and trek out west. So from that standpoint, that's why they're disappointed. But they're certainly not going to use it as an excuse if they don't play well against Kansas State.
We're talking with Dan Hoard, the play-by-play voice of Cincinnati and the Bearcats. Well, I guess the thing I would take from Mick Cronin's comments is, and I've always liked this about him, he just seems like a guy that coaches with a chip on his shoulder. Is this a team that also plays with a chip on their shoulder?
I think they've got a little bit of that to them, and I agree with you about Mick Cronin. That certainly describes his possibility. For those who are not familiar with Cincinnati's head coach, he's not the tallest person in the world, to put it mildly. He's probably the shortest coach in the NCAA tournament. And I honestly think that that's probably impacted him in every step of his life. You know, he's not a guy that played college basketball at the highest level, and yet he's managed to do an outstanding job as a head coach at the highest level. So maybe Napoleon had a Mick Cronin complex. I'm not sure, but in that case. He does act and coach with a chip on his shoulder, I would agree.
Dan, we were just talking about this a little bit, how strange of a year it's been for the American Athletic Conference, with UConn being the team that you expect to be there at the top of the conference year in and year out, and that not being the case this year. How strange of a year was it, or abnormal was it, with how things shook out in the conference this year?
I think it was a little bit strange. You had two great teams in Cincinnati and SMU, and nobody else made the NCAA tournament. In fairness to Connecticut, they lost two of their best three players in the first four games of the season. Their best recruit suffered a season-ending shoulder injury in Game 3, I believe, and an outstanding transfer from VCU tore his ACL in Game 4. If not for that, I think UConn probably would have been another NCAA tournament. But let's face it, some of the traditional powerhouse-type teams in Cincinnati's league have to get back to that level for this league to get some respect, whether it's UConn or Memphis or Temple. Those teams have been underperforming, and as a result, I think the league is taking some hits.
Dan Hort is with us, the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats. You know, typically, we think of Cincinnati teams being really gritty, good on defense, but it does look like when you start peeking at the numbers here that this Cincinnati team is better, perhaps offensively, than most would think. Is that an accurate assessment of them?
You've got it nailed 100%. That's the difference between Cincinnati this year and the teams that have been going every year to the NCAA tournament but having trouble advancing. If you look at the advanced metrics, and I know when you start talking about that stuff, fans' brains glaze over because it's a bunch of numbers, but Cincinnati is ranked 35th in the country in offense in terms of points per possession this year, and that's the best they've ever been under Coach Cronin. They're usually a top 10 defensive team in those stats, but rarely have they been very good offensively. So they've got the combination this year of better than they've had during his previous 10 years.
What has been the Achilles heel of this team, or something that you expect K-State to try to exploit?
Well, I'll tell you what worries me. Cincinnati's best big man is Kyle Washington. He was second-team all-conference, and he has a tendency to get into foul trouble. In their last two games in the American Conference tournament, he picked up two fouls in the first 4 minutes in both games, and it really hurt them in the championship game against SMU. So having studied Kansas State a little bit and seeing how DJ Johnson plays, to me, that's going to be a real key to the game. Can the Bearcats defend Johnson without Kyle Washington getting into early foul trouble?
Talking with Dan Hort, play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats. I guess that is part of where I was going to go next. I mean, just in talking with Mick Cronin or hearing what he's had to say over the last couple of days, what are the things that concern him most about K-State?
Well, there are a lot of things. I happened to be at practice yesterday as they were running down the Kansas State scouting report, so to speak. So they went through every individual and what those guys do well. They're concerned about the ability to dominate the paint. They're concerned about Barry Brown's ability to sneak into passing lanes and come up with steals. They saw Stokes hit five threes the other night in the victory over Wake Forest. So there are plenty of things to be worried about, and I didn't even get to the guy who had the best game of all, Wundu. So there are a lot of reasons for the Bearcats to be concerned going into this game, but obviously Bruce Weber's coaches have come up with a Cincinnati scouting report, and they've got concerns too.
Does Cincinnati view it as an advantage or disadvantage that K-State played in the first four as opposed to all these teams that have had a longer period of time off?
It can only be an advantage, can it? I mean, I don't really think that anybody could look at that as a disadvantage for Cincinnati. Kansas State had to play. They had to travel. Again, the Bearcats have been here since Tuesday night, so that doesn't mean it's going to be the difference in a Cincinnati win, but I certainly think it has to be at least a small advantage for the Bearcats.
Dan Hort, the Cincinnati play-by-play voice there, a little bit of what he had to say yesterday. I do happen to disagree with him a little bit on that. I think that if I were Cincinnati, I'd be upset by the fact that they seem slightly underseeded. K-State has an extra day. As I mentioned, USC already played after playing the Wednesday play-in game. K-State's had an extra day to rest and travel and whatnot for this game. Plus, they're getting sent really far away.
I thought Cincinnati was in the clear now because USC won. So you should agree with him at this point.
Well, I would agree with him that I think Cincinnati may win now, but that's just based on the mere history that USC now is the team from the first four that's advanced to the round of 32. I disagree with his premise there that he was talking about. Haters and Ballers, I think we can all agree on that at 5:10. Haters and Ballers, Cincinnati edition. Stay tuned for that. I'm looking forward to it. But when we come back to wrap up the hour, don't overlook this going on this weekend.